Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey friends, it's your boy Matt Donald here to let you know once again that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you'll find bonus content for the Ritwit and Paleobites, my two little podcasts that could. For the bonus Paleobites content, we're discussing pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, and this month we're talking about Dinosaur King, a video game turned anime, turned card game. It's basically Pokemon, but with dinosaurs. It's great stuff. Link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a wonderful day!
Roar! Growl! Snarl! Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast about prehistoric animals that I'll probably review Neanderthal someday and get accused of racism. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by someone who had me try some breaded vegetables, and I really quite enjoyed them.
Yes, and you just had some sushi and some pot stickers.
Yeah, this was a big night for me,
this
food-wise.
This was a big night.
Lexi Ryan!
Yeah, hi, that's me.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm pleasantly surprised at the reaction.
Yeah, no, I liked it. Like I said, I think I'd like a lot more than I thought I would like. I'm always nervous.
Yeah,
about,
and you never want to have what I refer to as order envy, or order regret.
Yeah.
Where you're like, maybe I'll try that new thing. And then you try it, and you don't love it as much as the thing that you normally...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very, like, whenever I go somewhere, I usually always get the same
thing. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's... This sushi place, I get the same thing every time, pretty much. But it did take me a while to work up to even eating sushi, but... But yeah, that's me, the sushi lady.
Okay, so the question I asked you last time was if you could cook for a dinosaur, what would you cook? And I'm going to do something a little bit more morbid. If you could cook a dinosaur, how would you serve it?
This is not that morbid because I'm one of those weirdos who are like, if you could try a human but it wasn't a real person, how would you have it prepared? So I'll do one, but okay, so...
Let's do like... I don't want to do just like one of the small ones. That's basically like cooking a chicken. So
I'm gonna have to like okay. So the diet, I'm gonna want to really
let's do Triceratops.
I don't know. So how would I have it? Oh, how would I cook it? I'm not choosing the dinosaur. You're giving me the dinosaur.
Yeah.
I'm telling you how.
Yeah, just
to
like
prepare.
A medium size.
Oh,
I mean, a pretty big-ish
okay.
One.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the flavor profile because I don't know if it ate a lot of rich food. Since it didn't eat a lot of meat, it probably wouldn't be
okay. Well, I don't like
I'm good with this. You know, I'm going to go safe, and I'm going to braise it.
Yeah?
Do you like braised meat?
What is that?
So, you know, like a pulled pork sandwich when the pork just kind of falls apart, and it's not like a big thing.
It's kind of like a brisket?
It's like shredded. Yeah, things that are slow cooked for a really long time, so they're very tender. Or like ribs when they kind of fall off the bone when you eat them. That's pretty much braised.
Okay,
so
that could work. And then
it's
just
great
put it
for
in like
meat.
A sandwich or something?
No, I don't think I would do like a pulled pork sandwich. I would probably do like a red wine tomato sauce over like polenta, which is like a rice-based kind of
You know what I would do? I would do, like, a big boiled egg of a long-necked dinosaur.
Well, you didn't say we could do eggs now.
Okay, well...
you said how would you have the dinosaur
prepared? I know. So I just thought of this myself.
I would do it poached.
You
or,
poached
or soft-boiled, with it where the inside is still a little runny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because these eggs were big. This could feed a family. Yeah. Like, this thing.
Yeah, I had to give a pot big enough to cook it in.
Well, speaking of, I said that I'd do it like a big long neck egg. And speaking of big long necks, we're talking about a really big long neck. And for a while, we thought it was the biggest long neck.
Okay.
We're talking about Amphicelius, a mythical creature, basically. Well, at least for a while.
Okay.
Like we got, it's a ridiculous. Okay, so Amphicelius means hollow on both sides, whatever that means. Probably something to do with the bones.
Yeah, probably.
Type, it is a diplodocid sauropod, so I remember when I was talking about that's the one, the type mm-hmm. that Littlefoot,
yep.
Yeah, is. And so if you imagine his mother, like that, you know, long neck held horizontally, long tail also held horizontally.
Okay.
Like that's kind of what it is. Size, we used to think it was a lot bigger than this, but currently I think it's 78 to 85 feet, so that's 24 or 26 meters long, and 40 to 50 tons. So let's see, what's 80 feet long? A tennis court's about 60 feet, I think. So,
okay.
All right.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's big. I think say that to most of the dinosaurs we talk about.
That's big. A train engine and then whatever the thing is behind the train engine, the thing that holds the coal. Both of those together are about 80 feet, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Right. Don't quote me on that.
That's okay. I don't. My train knowledge is limited, so I'm picturing it roughly.
I should get my friend Matt Seifert on here. He loves trains. He's that kind of dork.
I've been to the train museum in Greeley, though.
Yeah. Oh, I should have gone there. That was cool. All right. But when first discovered, the original estimates were up to 200 feet / 60 meters long and 150 tons. That's
very much longer than what you just said.
Yeah,
that's
a ton
longer.
Yeah, like that's you know how football works, right? Like American football.
The sports ball? Kind of.
Okay. There's a thing called a red zone, which is 20 yards from the field, the end zone, which is where, you know, you run and get a touchdown.
Okay, I know that part, but the red zone part
Red zone is 20 yards in, because at that point I think the clock can't stop or something. I don't know. But when a team is pushed into the red zone, like a defending team, it's like all odds are there because they could throw and get a touchdown. 200 feet is this Amphicelius, if it was that big, it could stand in the middle of a football field and have its head in one red zone and its tail in the other. So.
Yep.
That's
a big boy.
Pretty big.
Yep.
Diet herbivore or herbivore? I keep saying herbivore.
Herbivore, as the British would say.
They say herbivore. They also say
Well, you know how they say H? It's H.
You know what I think is funny? Yeah, they say H. You know what I think is funny about Britain? They, it's backwards in a lot of ways compared to us on how they use certain vowels. Like, instead of evolution, they say evolution.
Evolution.
But instead of zebra, they say zebra.
Yeah.
It's backwards.
And you know what's true, too? Because they say aluminium. It's spelled differently over there.
Really?
Yep. So I always was like, how do you say that? That pronunciation doesn't actually phonetically make sense, and then it's spelled differently over there.
I listen to a lot of Australian podcasts, and they always put emphasis on the second syllable in certain things. Like, I downloaded it.
Yep. Well, what I realized when I studied abroad in Wales and I came back, I didn't have an accent, but my inflection was different. So I might say something like, in America, do you want to go to the movies tomorrow? And then if I were in Wales, I might go, do you want to go to the movies tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Emphasis is different. It's weird how emphasis works.
Right.
Anyways, a time late Jurassic, 151 to 149 million years ago. Location, Colorado, U.S.
Hey, yeah. Represent.
Represent. The Coloradans can get high with the rest of us. I mean, it literally is high.
Literally high up there, man. We're a mile high.
All right. Described in 1878.
All right.
Pop culture appearances. I actually used one in my final Megazoic book, An Era's End, before the original estimates were disputed. So.
Oh, okay.
So I'll get to that here because it kind of goes into my book here. All right, so all the way back in the mid-1800s, a few back and tail vertebra, as well as a femur, were uncovered that seemed to reveal a true monster. The back vertebra, as you saw at Dinosaur Ridge, was 9 feet tall.
Yes, that was giant.
And making scientists wonder just what kind of preposterous creature this thing could have belonged to. Like, if that vertebrate alone, just one part of the backbone, was that big.
It was, yeah, it's plenty taller than me, and it. I have one of those. I have one of those, and if I, yeah, that hurts my mind to think about.
So if this vertebra, along with the tail and femur that were nearby, they looked very similar to those found in the diplodocid sauropods, such as Apatosaurus, which is what Littlefoot is, as we said. A group of lightly built long necks known for their long necks, long, long tails, and relatively short torsos. And if this creature had the same proportions as other diplodocids, it would have been anywhere from 130 to 200 feet long. And even when accounting for a diplodocid's more lightly built forms in the heavier brachiosaurids or titanosaurids, which are other long neck families, it would have still been the heaviest dinosaurs of all time at about 120 to 150 tons.
That's, yeah. Hefty!
Yeah, like most scientists were skeptical of this gigantic size, though, due to the improbable nature of such a colossus. But for a long time, for like over 100 years, it was known as this mythical fossil, like depicting something beyond reality, like something we see more in fantasy and sci-fi.
Right, like a monster.
Like a, just this gigantic creature, like that shouldn't exist. And it's precisely because of this that I decided to use one in my final Megazoic book and made his character one of 8 mighty champions.
That makes sense.
Yes, so these were legendary warriors built up throughout the series until they finally came into the finale, because they were incapacitated before the main character had to revive them. It's a long story.
Spoiler. Spoilers, man.
Oh, well, you'll see how it ends up. I thought, hey, diplodocid sauropods are often known as the ones that could rear up on their hind legs and use their back legs and tails to make like a tripod stance. So, why not have one of these legendary warriors be an Amphicelius that wielded wrist-mounted retractable blades, 30 feet long apiece, that could use to puncture and throw enemies about?
Batman, man.
Basically, yeah. It's just like, just imagine this giant thing, like, just using his long sword, stabbing a tank, and then just throwing
it. Yeah, it's a Batman dinosaur.
Basically. Although, it probably couldn't glide. It's probably a bit too
probably
big.
Probably couldn't glide, but it has those cool pointy blades. That's my Batman voice.
Where is she?
Pointy blades!
Pointy blades. So I use the absolute largest estimates because my books are cool sci-fi first and foremost. So this character was 200 feet long and was an absolute beast on the battlefield, dwarfing even other long-necked dinosaurs and just overall being awesome and ridiculous. So I finished this final Megazoic book in mid-December 2018 and prepared for its publication with my editor and my illustrator. But then mere weeks later, in late 2018, a new study was made by paleontologist Kenneth Carpenter that changed things up and made my book outdated right away.
What if it happens again?
That's the risk with paleo fiction.
Well, that's okay, but, you know, I think if you were doing a fact book, I think a factual book, non-fiction, I think that would be a problem.
Right.
But this is fiction, baby. Like,
right, no, exactly. Yeah. That's always the risk of doing dinosaur-related fiction. Like,
yeah.
Because things outdate so quickly. And
yeah, I mean, and there are aspects you have chosen to not put into your book, like the feather stuff.
They sometimes do have feathers. They do have feathers, so...
Yeah.
The
illustrations, none of the illustrations have feathers, right?
One of them does.
Oh, okay.
Some of the bigger ones don't, but... Okay. Yeah, I describe them as sometimes having feathers. So basically, Kenneth Carpenter proposed that the giant brach vertebrae was a different species than the femur and the tailbone, because bones tend to get mixed up in the dirt, not always being the normal bodily positions.
That makes sense.
And different species get mixed up all the time.
Okay. So like parts of one animal and then parts of a different dinosaur. Right. Like...
Right. Exactly. Okay. And then this big spine was actually in the, you remember this, the Rebecca family, Beckasaurid family of long-necked dinosaurs.
Good old Becky!
And a group stockier in build and having unusually enlarged back vertebra and for a proportionally much smaller body. So it could still have this giant back vertebra, but it was different. And this vertebra was put under a new genus, Marapunisaurus, which doesn't sound nearly as cool. It has the word puny in it. While the femur and tail vertebrae remain classified as Amphicelius, but without the gigantic back vertebra for a scale, the overall proportion of Amphicelius was greatly diminished. It was still freaking enormous at 80 to 90 feet long.
Yes.
But it wasn't 200 feet. Like.
Yes.
So, it wasn't that, which is lame, but...
So, yeah, I was going to say, were people, like, disappointed?
I was, personally. Community?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, especially since I wrote a whole book about this main character whose whole gimmick was that he was enormous.
Right.
But for what it's worth, though, I added the throwaway line just before it got published. I was able to edit it beforehand, where I was like, oh, this actually guy was genetically altered to be bigger.
Ah, there you go.
So.
Yeah.
So I could still keep him as that giant champion. It's just, it's still not the same, though. Like, it would have been cool if I had this gigantic creature and I could have said, you know, it might have actually been that big.
Yeah.
Like, that would have, but now it's not. So it's kind of still disappointing, but.
I understand that, but.
Because, like, those kind of crazy sci-fi things are cooler if there's also a little basis in reality to it.
Yeah.
Because, like.
I think there, I mean, there still is, it sounds like.
Yeah, there is. It's just like. I just think it would have been really cool if to see this giant long-neck dinosaur doing all these crazy things, and like, that thing shouldn't exist, but maybe it did, but now we know definitively it didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But wah, that's okay. That's basically the only thing you can do with it, just do the wah, wah.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the risk of writing paleo fiction, you know, when things outdate. Sometimes it takes a while, though. Like, Spinosaurus has gone through so many different updates in the last couple of years.
That's, that one, I always forget, because...
Did you see Jurassic Park 3?
That's the one with the spine along its back. That, yes. Like, it almost looks like a fin.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it had a big crocodile-like mouth.
Yes.
And it had, we used to think it had long legs like a T-Rex.
That's a meat eater.
Yeah, that is a meat eater. Well, mostly a fish eater, but still a meat eater. Then we found out in 2014 it had really short back legs to the point where some people even thought it might have been a quadruped.
Oh, like water-based? Like,
or just four-legged.
Oh, is that what that means? Quadruped. Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so, but we now know it actually still was a biped, but it just had much shorter back legs than we initially thought. And then this year, they found out it had a tail fin as well, like a newt.
Newts are awesome. Haven't you seen Matilda?
That's true.
The power of the newt! It freaks out the bad people!
Well, I just think of, like, Monty Python. She turned me into a newt.
She turned me into a newt.
I got better. Yeah. If the newt I became, that I got turned into, was Spinosaurus, I wouldn't want to get better.
That's true. I would feel pretty good if, I was a Spinosaurus.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So now we think that it was, a Spinosaurus was almost exclusively water-based. Like not like fully aquatic, but semi-aquatic. The point where it swam a lot.
That's what I would want to be. I would want to be semi-aquatic.
Yeah, you don't want to commit. Comfortable in both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Okay, so Amphicelius, like, it was cool while it lasted to think, oh, maybe it was this big, and now we know it probably wasn't. But still, we're at the point where we're rated at 1 out of 65 million. For the previous estimate, 65 million. For now, probably like 50 million or 45 million, because it's still big, but there's a lot of sauropods that big.
Well,
now.
I feel like seeing my friend disappointed has docked this one score.
Oh, no.
But, well, it's disappointed you, and I don't like that.
Yeah,
so, like,
oh, well, thank you.
So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if you deserve it. Maybe I'm going to just throw a 10 mil. Like,
whoa, take that, Amphicelius.
Like, way to shatter the dreams of a man who didn't deserve it.
I just, like, look at it as, like, what wasted potential. You could have been 200 feet long, but you decided instead to, it's like someone who's like, you could have gone to the pros.
You know, I'll up it a little bit, because it is a beautiful metaphor for a lot of things in life, where I think it's going to be this amazing thing. Wah, wah. So I'll up it to 12. We'll do a 12.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, it's a good metaphor for life. It's full of disappointments.
Yeah, you know, it is. And you gotta just keep on rolling. You gotta keep on rolling. I've forgotten its name.
Amphicelius.
Amphicelius. I feel like we didn't say it as much this
Amphicelius.
Time.
Amphicelius. Like amphibian.
Like amphibian. Okay.
Yeah, Amphicelius.
That's easier. Okay.
Yeah, so... Because, yeah, amphibian means both. Because the amphi is both. That's where that both comes from.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, so amphibian means both water and land.
Oh, look at all the what I'm learning today.
See, this is what I'm talking about with dinosaurs and entomology. You learn all the you learn a lot of word origins
Very
in
valuable.
Greek and Latin. So, but yeah. So, all right. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@matthewdonaldcreator.com. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook at Matthew Donald Creator, on Twitter and Instagram I'm at Matthew Donald 64. Lexi here is on Lexi Tate. 44?
Yes, that's me.
On Instagram?
Instagram.
Yep, check her out, check us out. If you're interested in writing, I have a book. No, I mixed it up. If you're interested in writing, I have a podcast called The Writ Way, where two twits talk about writing. You've been on a couple episodes.
I have.
Good stuff.
It's good fun.
Yep, we're past 100 episodes at this point, so yay! Woo! It'll never end. eventually.
It's never ending.
Eventually, Matt Cyrus is going to get tired of it. He's always like, oh, but we'll run out of topics. I'm like, I don't know. I think
a lot of people say that.
I think we'll keep going for a
Yeah.
If you're interested in reading, I have a book series in Amazon Megazoic. Like I said, the final book does have an Amphicelius in it. So that's pretty cool.
If it ever gets turned into a movie, can I try out to be the voice actor on the movie commercial?
Oh, yeah. It's like, in a world.
In a world where dinosaurs have lasers.
That could work. I would watch that.
And all the sound effects. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. Look at that huge laser. Oh, laser. Oh, no.
That's my favorite line in my book. Look at that huge laser. All right, well, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleobites, I guess, wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Poor Amphicelius. It doesn't get any respect.
You don't get no respect. You don't deserve the respect.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.